What's up, everyone? Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Gamecast. I am one of your hosts, Kenny, and with me is Tess.
Hello, everybody.
And we are back. I think, episode 66. We are flying through the numbers. Before you know it, we're going to be hitting 100. We got to do something big for episode 100. I'm not sure just yet. I have a ton of ideas that I'm not going to share here, but I have a ton of ideas. But I want to do something big for episode 100. It just makes sense. It's a milestone episode. Just like episode 50 the episode where we got on Audio Boom and we had all these other things happen. It's like, oh, this is a milestone. This is dope. So yeah. I want to do something big for episode 100. And if you haven't been around for all the episodes, I'm not even mad at you. Shout out to friend Nikki. Shout out to my homie Nikki. He actually subscribed to the podcast. He was looking for it. Apparently, it's hard to find on Spotify. And I think Spotify does this thing where, like, they bump up everything. Like, if your podcast is hot, it gets bumped up to the top. And so if you go searching, it'll pull up everything. But in other apps, for instance, iTunes, Google, all the other places that I've searched, the Gamecast pops up is the first one that pops up because it's spelled a certain way. And for whatever reason, Spotify is like, hey, I got the word cast in it, so we're just going to pull up all the casts. I'm like, okay, that's not how that works. but all right. So anyway, shout out to him because I appreciate anyone who subscribes, anyone who listens. And it kind of just happened in happenstance. Like, we were talking about stuff, and a friend of mine asked about Candyman, like, so a mutual friend of ours. And then he was like, oh, yeah, you said that on the podcast. And I was like, oh, you listen. Word.
Yes.
That's always a good feeling, definitely a good feeling. But this week we have, you know, more stuff to talk about. I went to the theater again, everyone. Mm-hmm. I went to the theater again, and I survived. So shout out to me. I went to see Shang-Chi. And let me say, it is one of the best Marvel films, hands down. Like, top three Marvel films. They did a really, really good job on this film. From the action that was going down, like, I forgot what's the guy's name? There's a guy who worked with Jackie Chan, who does a lot of the choreography for Jackie Chan films. He's a stuntman. He was also in the movie Beautiful with Jackie Chan as the antagonist. I can't remember his name, but he does amazing choreography. He's a martial artist himself. So he did, this was one of his, cause he, unfortunately passed away, I want to say last year. But this was one of his last films that he had done. And if you see the action in these films, and I'm not saying that to kind of like breeze over him, I'm actually looking him up. But when you look at the action and like the fluidity of the motion between the actors and how everything is shot very well, and granted that's the director too, but how things are shot very well, it's really, really good. Like there good was no, watch. You know how like Marvel does this thing where, and not to say that because people can't fight, but for people who can't fight, they have to do fast cuts, you know, to show impact or to kind of not show how bad things are going between the fighters or how bad it looks. Yeah. And that wasn't the case here. You saw every motion, every punch, every kick, you know, these people are athletic. They looked really good doing all the stunts and everything. And I believe everyone did all their stunts. For the most part, that's what it looks like. And they did an amazing job.
That's good because if they didn't do all their stunts and it looked like they did, then that's what we want. That's honestly what we want. And we know it's a lot to ask, but that's what we want.
Right. You know, at the very least, make me believe. Like, if I believe what's happening on you know, screen, we're good. If it's more so like, I know for a fact she didn't throw that punch.
Like Mortal Kombat?
Right. Oh my God. And you know what's bad with Mortal? I know we keep going back to Mortal Kombat. I'm sorry. It came out this year, though. It came out this year. But Mortal Kombat was, they had fighters. Like, you had people who are really good at fighting. Yeah. And it was still cut the heck. Like, fast cuts. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go watch, let's see, certain scenes from Guardians of the Galaxy. Watch
Loki. Like, we love Hiddleston, but like Tom Hiddleston, what's her face? Like, come on, they're not fighters. They're, like, well, he's not a fighter. He's just hot.
Right.
So, and we're going back to that. But, you know, have you seen those legs?
Like, right. Like, I mean, I'm sure he could throw a punch.
But man, it's not believable.
It's not. They have to do some good editing there. And I'm sure they could, you know, there's some movie magic that kind of goes on behind the scenes that kind of make things look a bit better. But with a lot of the Marvel films, you could kind of see it. You know, another example is in the Civil War, the Captain America film, the fights with the Winter Soldier very early when he's fighting all the, like, you know, police officers and whatnot.
Yeah.
Versus the fight on the at the air terminal or airplane terminal where, like, they had all the Avengers basically fighting each other, and how that shot versus the earlier parts of the film, you can actually see the fights there. It's very, the kinetic energy is all over the place in the first half of that film. So it's similar to that. So Brad Allen, he is the supervising stunt coordinator. He also helps, you know, choreograph things, and he helped with this film. It has a Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon vibe with the wushu style fighting, and it looks good. It reminds me of Crouching Tiger, but like a more of a, I guess, modern take on that and how they were fighting, and everything looked believable. Even the stuff that I was like, there's no way, like, you're like physics, this, like, throw physics out of the, you know what I mean, out the, throw it out, throw all the physics out. It still looked great. It still looked really good. There was a lot of humor. They also addressed the Mandarin thing in two cool ways. I'm not going to say them because I don't want to spoil them. But for all the people who saw Iron Man 3 and you felt the way because the Mandarin wasn't actually the Mandarin, I can spoil that. It's been some years. They addressed that here, and they do it in a way that picks up if you watch Iron Man 3, if you get the Blu-ray, there is a deleted scene, or not deleted scene, there's a bonus scene where it shows the guy who pretended to be the Mandarin being broken out of prison by the real Mandarin people, and or the Ten Rings people. So they address that, but then they also address some other aspects of the Mandarin, because we, as you all know, it's not very appropriate, his character. It's you know, I don't want to say, is it racist? Is that the right word? It's not appropriate. Like, his caricature is a stereotype. So they address it in a really cool way, and you know, in a way that also pays homage to the comic book character, and they kind of morph this character into the main protagonist of this film, and it works really, really well. And it's only two scenes. It's like really like boom, boom, and then we're good, right? But they do it in such a way that, like, you're like, oh, okay, so we're not, you know, retconning what happened to Iron Man 3 per se, like that actually happened, but we need to fix some things too. So, solid. There was a lot of humor, a lot of, you know, funny parts. Awkwafina did not, for me, she did not offend. She did not have her, the black scene that we talked about, you know, in previous episodes. She sounded like, I guess, how she would sound playing this character that she's playing. you know, really good job in her acting. Lou playing Shang-Chi did an amazing job as well. What is his name? Oh, Tony
Leung.
I can't pronounce. Tony Leung did an awesome job. One of the best antagonists, I think, in the MCU. And so, for all the reasons, and then it's also like 90%, you know, Asian cast, similar to the Black Panther. Essentially, outside of some things that are, I can understand, I read an article about how, you know, American audiences like to keep the fantasy or the idea of, like, the, you know, the East is very fanciful with dragons and stuff like that. Like, they like to pull those tropes. Outside of that stuff, though, it's really good in terms of representation. And this is not necessarily me speaking. This is from some of the writers that I follow who are Asian, who wrote about the film. So basically a big step forward, similar to Black Panther. And I'm excited. It's I have to buy this. This is going to be owned. I know I have Disney Plus, but I'm going to buy it. It's freaking great. And I like, wushu films, karate films. We talked about, Dynasty Warriors and how we enjoyed it, even though it was bad. Like, this is
so
this
bad.
Is when, right. This is when you'll enjoy, and it's good. It's definitely good.
I also want to add something right here.
Yeah.
Because people were sleeping on Tony Leung, and
yeah,
y'all need to get with it. That's my boy.
He was great. I first saw him in a Hard Boiled back in the day. And granted, it's a John Woo film. So I was like, I got to watch this because John Woo makes awesome stuff. But then, he kind of gets overshadowed by some of his co-stars in that, like Chow Yun-Fat. At the same time, though.
It's Chow Yun-Fat. So.
Yeah. But at the same time, though, he's pretty great. So that was the first time I saw him in Hard Boiled. But I saw him in some other Hong Kong action films. And he's always been great. He's always been great.
He's in Eat Mine. Like, come on, man. He's in Infernal Affairs. Like, Infernal Affairs is my movie. And we've discussed this before. We've never gone in depth on Infernal Affairs, which we should do at some point in time because y'all all saw Infernal Affairs. It's The Departed. It is a Hong Kong movie. Departed was written almost, it's like almost word for word. Infernal Affairs. So, and that movie's the bomb. So it's one of my favorites.
Yes, definitely.
Anyways,
a good film.
Don't sleep on Tony Leung. Don't sleep on him.
This is like a resurgence a little bit. Because this is his first.
It's his Hollywood debut.
Yeah, his Hollywood debut. Because he's been around. He's done film festivals. He's really big in Hong Kong, and he's won several awards and whatnot. But as far as in the U.S., like as a U.S. like shot film, I think this is like his first one, and pretty freaking huge. Like it's just, you want to be attached. Like if it's gonna be your first film, especially, you want to be attached to the MCU. It's big, and they're it's definitely hitting the box office pretty well. I think they went past they're at 100 and something million right now in terms of the box office, which is dope because their budget was around 200 million. Now you might think like, okay, that's bad, but you also have to imagine number one, this is the pandemic. Number two, it's Labor Day weekend, and Labor Day weekend doesn't tend, like films don't tend to make a lot in during that portion of time.
Yeah, people don't go inside during Labor Day.
Right, everyone is outside. And so it broke records for Labor Day in the pandemic. Just think about that. So I think that it's going to continue to, gross a lot of money, especially overseas. And I hope it does it as well as it possibly can. I'm a big fan of it. I just want to kind of make mention of that. Also, let me talk to some of y'all for a sec real quick, the people who are going to the theater. I'm with you. I've been going back to the theater. It's a hobby of mine. But I'm also like respectful of people's space. And some of y'all weren't when I went to see this film. Some people, there were some nice people. Like we had some people come in and, we have arranged seating. So you can't just sit anywhere. But apparently, I don't know if these people just kind of walked in or the seats that they had were taken by somebody else, or they just didn't want to be in their own seats. But they took two seats that were kind of near me, and then this Asian couple came in and was like, hey, you're kind of in our seat. And granted, it was the people who weren't supposed to be there got up and moved, and they were nice about it. But I was a little fearful because, there's the whole, Asian hate thing going around. Mm-hmm. People blaming them for COVID and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And they were very timid when they were like, hey, could you, this is our seat and whatnot. So in my mind, I'm like, please don't act up. Like, please don't act up. I don't want to have to slap someone up in here. If you're not in the right seat, just go. Like, just go. But they did. They got up and, everything was cool. But then some other people came in and I don't know if they didn't have any seats either, but they were moving people. Like they were like telling people to like move so they can get in. And they brought like their entire family and then some. And I was like, fam, I know you guys want to see this movie. I know that it's been rough, But I think, like, I think that you just have some type of decorum about this stuff. Like, have some patience. Have some, you don't have to be, like, I, for instance, I was going to go to an earlier showing, but there were so many seats that were filled that I was like, nah, I'm not going to go. I'm going to let them have that showing. I'm going to go to a later showing because I want to try to keep, you know, my distance from people. Mm-hmm. But then also, people are weary. Like, it's not even just like the idea that I might catch something. People are kind of like, you know, they're kind of to themselves. Like, I don't want to sit too close to you. I don't want to bother you type thing. Mm-hmm. And so just knowing that I don't want to necessarily get a seat that's way close to people when people are trying to stay away from everybody. So it's like, you know what? I'm going to let them have that. I'm going to go to this one. And just people were just like, and in certain cases, were just on top of each other. And I'm like, it's not that deep. It's really not. And like I said, I don't know if people were like, came in late and they didn't want to go to their particular seats. So they were moving people or trying to get people to move or whatever. I don't know what happened with that. I would just like sit down and be quiet because I'm trying to watch. but yeah, I just like, I feel like, especially people who you just, I must assume that you haven't gone through anything where you had to be limited in any capacity. I'm just going to say that. I don't know. But it feels like, oh, you were saying?
No, I just personally think you're asking for a lot.
Yeah, it's like, it's, I mean, maybe, I don't know, but I'm like, I feel like you might not have gone through anything where you had to be limited in access. Like something was taken from you. You were restricted. You just never had to hear the words no in a, you know, that wasn't from your parents or something. I don't know. But like, it seems like as soon as like the doors open up a little bit for us to come back from COVID, like the doors kind of like, okay, you can kind of go over here, just three of you, keep your mask. People go buck wild. They take off all of their clothes. They run through the streets. They're just going bananas. And I don't understand it. Like, just be a little bit like you're watching a Marvel film in the theater. That in and of itself is a big deal because we couldn't do that a year ago. It's okay to kind of be like cautious, to slow down, to you know, we don't have to get tipsy up in here. Like, come on.
Yeah.
It's okay. So at I just want to throw that out there.
I agree with you. And at the same time, I mean, the movie theater, like, look, don't you remember when the movie theater employees back in the day used to, like, if you were 12, and I'm not talking about sneaking into a movie you weren't supposed to be. I mean, just literally being 12 years old, like walking up to the thing, knowing good and well I'm buying a ticket to The Little Mermaid or something. And they were on my ass. It's just different now.
Well, like, I mean, and to be fair, we're Black, so we kind of experienced that too.
That's
we're just up to no good. Or always. Something. You know, but yeah, it's like the people who used to, they don't do this anymore. The people who used to like walk down the aisle and make sure people aren't like doing stuff they're not supposed to, maybe make sure they're not filming, make sure they're the people with the flashlights, like, no, they stay out. They stay out to the theater, to the, everything is done. And I'm like, I really wish you would come back.
Cause there really should be also rules about being late, to the film now. I mean, I'm just saying stuff out loud, it, whatever. I don't own a movie theater, but.
I don't mind the lateness because just get to your seat quick. That's all. I don't mind because some things happen. You had a flat tire. I'm not saying you should lose it because theaters are quick to not refund you. So I'm not mad if you get there late. I'm mad if you get there late and you cause a ruckus.
Yeah.
Like that's my deal. Or hell, if you cause a ruckus at any time. I don't like people talking loud before the freaking trailers. Come on. Like, yo, chill, fam. Like, this is... We're not at the theme park. You don't have to yell to the person beside you.
What? It's not, the movie's not the theme park? How did I miss that?
No, no. Sit down and try not to chew loud. That's what you need to do.
That's why I never eat in the theater. Anyway, movie. I don't.
So yeah, before we got into our topics, I kind of wanted to mention that because I did talk about Candyman last podcast. So I want to make mention of that. And I'm probably going to go to the theater tomorrow to see Malignant. I think that's how you say it. Yeah, Malignant. Mm-hmm. James Wan's new horror film. I might check that out. So if I do, I will be back. Well, actually, I'm gonna check it out regardless because I have HBO Max. So I'm going to see it. Mm-hmm. And we'll have a conversation about it. Getting into this week's topics, though, our main topics, we want to make mention of a couple things. One of them was the unfortunate passing of Michael K. Williams, who this was, I want to say, this was this week, September 6th. He was found in a penthouse, apparently a victim of an overdose. I'd heard that allegedly. I did hear that he had had, you know, issues with drug abuse or drug addiction, I should say.
He has in the past. Yeah, he has. I mean, I shouldn't say in the past. You know, once an addict, always an addict. But
right, or at the very least, you're you know, the temptation is there. If you know, people have recovered and recovering. Have gone on, and
but and so I don't always know an addict. That's how it works. If you remember, you're always an addict. You're recovered, but you're always an addict.
Right, which means you should stay away from it is essentially in order to keep yourself safe. With that being said, I don't know anything about anything. So I can't speculate on what happened. Yeah. If there was some, you know, I know COVID has been tough. And so I don't know if there was any, you know, if he was depressed or you know, and then sought drugs. It was similar with the, you know, the story of DMX where he was recovering. He was on Nori's Drink Champs, and he was talking about his new album coming out and how he had been clean for a while. And, you know, and then you heard what happened after. So it's like, you know, did something happen, you know, negative in his life? Or was it just something where, like, you know, he got caught up again? I don't know. Can't speculate. All I'm here to do is to honor the fact that, at least from what people were saying, that he was a really good guy. Because I never met him, you know, personally. And I know he's a great actor. You know, the first time I saw him was in The Wire as Omar Little. And he was great. He was one of the best characters of the whole show. Yeah. I was actually really pissed how he passed in that show. I thought it was a little anticlimactic for his character. But he was definitely really dope. And he was different. Like, in terms of portraying...
Yeah.
You know,
a black gay man.
Right, who's like a you know, a criminal. Like, he robbed other criminals. He robbed drug dealers. You know, like, that's not his role was unique in that sense. And he was really good at it. You know, and then he also had, you know, he's been in films, he's been in you know, TV shows. He was in the HBO show that fell out of my head. Crap.
Boardwalk Empire?
He was in that. I believe he was in that. He was also in the horror show that we were watching.
Are you talking about Lovecraft?
There you go. Lovecraft Country. Okay.
I don't know why. What are we talking about?
And see, this is why I typically have my list of things so I can refer back to the list when I want to talk about stuff. And unfortunately, I accidentally left that show off of it. So that's my bad.
That's okay. In all honesty, and this is how I feel about this, this wasn't something that I know we don't always prepare for our topics because we kind of just go off the fly. But like, this wasn't something that I could really, this is me personally, really prepare for. This is just, it's right. Something that kind of hit me hard. In a way, I shouldn't say hard, like, but it did.
Well, yeah.
This has affected me very much. And I've kind of been in a little funk since I heard the news. And it just made it just made me kind of want to ignore that it has happened. And I mean, like, I was actually having lunch with my friend when I learned the news, and which is something I don't do. If you guys listen to us, you know that I've been ill and I don't go anywhere. And so I didn't go anywhere. A friend came to visit me that I hadn't seen in months, and we had lunch, you know, across the table. And we were eating, and she was like, oh, you know, oh my, she looked at her phone. She's like, oh my God, you know, Michael K. Williams passed. And I just like, I didn't throw my food, but I was like, wait, what? Excuse me? And so it was just like, I was just not okay. And then like for the rest of the day, I was just pissed. I remember a friend texted me. It's like, hey, are you okay? Cause just, you know, cause people check on me because I'm not well. So it happens about twice a day. Right. And I'm like, no, I'm actually not. Let me just be honest here. It's okay to not be okay. And, for me, again, just like Kenny said, yeah, I didn't know him personally, but sometimes when people portray characters on TV, they just really reach you. And he was one of the people who didn't reach me because of the characters he was playing. It wasn't like the character. It was that you could see him. You could see him like everyday Mike. You could see him through the character. Mm. And every time he went there, you know what I mean when I say he went there. Every time he went there with his characters, you saw him. You saw him. And that always reached me. Every time I saw this man on film. Every time. And there's only, you know, there's only so many people, actors who have done that for me. And so I always put them on a different level, on a different spectrum. Like they're somewhere else than, you know, the everyday actors that I could be like, oh, I love that person. I love that actor. Oh, da, da, da. Yeah, this person's great. He wasn't one of those. He was one of those people that I put on the little corner for myself, like him and Robin Williams and Chadwick Boseman and Alan Rickman. And I put them and I'm sorry. There's a whole list of people. So I don't want to, no disrespect to the people I didn't mention, even though I'm thinking of them right now, but we don't have to mention them because we're talking about Mike right now. But he's just one of those people. So I was really affected and really sad. And then my sister sent me the video of him and Anthony Bourdain for one of those episodes when Anthony Bourdain was, you know, doing his show and they were in Brooklyn eating. And I was just like, it like hit me again. These are two great individuals that are no longer here. And it's sad because once again, these are deaths that could have been, what's the word? Sorry, you know, brain fog. Preventable.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and they're tragic deaths. And this is a tragic death. And the industry is shaking from it. As soon as the news was breaking, like if you go through your Instagram and your Twitter and every person who's ever worked with this man, if I can quote Gina Yashir, she wrote, excuse my language. No, I curse on this place all the time. She wrote, fuck, fuck, fuck. That's what she wrote. Fuck, fuck, fuck. Like she was besides herself. And then she has another post on how she talked about how when she came to America, like he befriended her. And you had Viola Davis say wonderful things about him. And one of the harder parts was watching it go from like one post from one person and just spread like wildfire until your whole feed is pictures of Michael K. Williams. And it was overwhelming. And I had to put the phone down because honestly, it affected me. It because of who he, like sometimes, you know, I know that as regular people will be like, oh, that famous person, I know them. I mean, whatever. But like my point is that some people, when they go on screen and their work, it is very clear the effort that they put into their craft. And that's why Chadwick Boseman was really painful as well. And if you watched Ma Rainey's Black Bottom and you watched that one scene where he was saying how he said something about like, you know, you don't know that kind of pain. And if the thing is, when he said that line, it kind of was like, to me, it felt very obvious because this man had been living with cancer for 4 years and nobody knew about it.
Right.
And nobody still knew about it, you know? And he had to deliver that line with the people in the room not knowing. And so for me, my personal hearing, learning that this man, this talented man who struggled with his own issues, and from what people say, like people in the industry who work with him, like there are people who knew about, and he was honest. He's been honest. He's talked about it before about, you know, his affiliation with drugs. And, people have said, they're like, oh, he wasn't one of those people who called out and had sick days. He wasn't one of those people who, you know, couldn't come to work because he was cracked out. He wasn't one of those people who was like, you know, oh, you know, I got to go to rehab, so I can't, I'm sorry, I got to break my contract. That wasn't him. He was always on time, early. He was the person he was supposed to be on set, and he did his work. This was something outside, you know what I mean?
Right.
This is something that a lot of people weren't witness to. And so, it kind of makes it hurt more. And there have been several famous, you know, people that have passed where it just hits a certain way. It just hits differently. And this is, you know, he's one of those people for me. He's going to be missed.
I mean, that was something I was, this was a few years ago. I was talking with a friend who we were expressing how these type of things are felt. I know there's people who, like all over the place, like celebrities who are loved for whatever they've done. Mm-hmm. And so it bothers you when they pass, even though you don't know them, it bothers you. But I know a lot with like the Black community or just Black people in general, how it's very tribal. And in that sense that we feel for others who look like us.
Yeah.
And so like it's positive, people who are doing positive things, people who are doing good things, people who are who are successful, just good depictions of us. It's like we feel that. So even though we're not related, we don't know them, we're not friends, but it's different. The same thing with, you know, Kobe passing, with Chadwick passing. It's very much a community felt loss.
It is.
And so even though, like, because I know people, you know, were kind of struggling with this idea of why does this bother me so much? And that's kind of where that comes from. It's because we are, you know, kind of communal. But, you know, prayers out to his family and you know, everyone, you know, his friends, coworkers and everything, you know.
Who has no affiliation with him, because y'all need some love too, like the us's out there. Right. Like prayers to the whole tribe, because we're still reeling off of other losses. And then this is another one, and it gets to the point where it's too much. So prayers up to the whole goddamn tribe, the whole tribe, y'all. Like, you're not alone. And we're all feeling this together. So, you know, lean on your friends and lean on the people close to you, because, you know, this hurts, especially when it's just keeps rolling down the line where it's just another person, to the point where you're so affected that you're almost, you guys, you know, I don't have, my language skills aren't very good right now, but like, I'm thinking of the word you're tense.
Yeah.
Waiting for the next ball to drop.
Anticipating, yeah.
So, prayers to the whole squad.
Yeah, we definitely. It's been rough here and there.
Yeah,
definitely been rough. We do have some things outside of this realm, you know, to look forward to. One of them was shown actually earlier today, breaking the fourth wall a little bit. And that was the Matrix 4 trailer, or Matrix Resurrections, which just seems like a mouthful. I know we had Matrix, Revolutions.
It was Revolutions, not Revelations, right?
Yeah, Revolutions.
They should have called this Revelations, or are they going to have a fifth movie that they call Revelations?
There's potential. The potential. I mean, we'll see how this goes. Okay. But I was not. So here's the thing with the Matrix. Before I even saw the trailer, I'm not a fan of the second and third film. I think the third film is better. I think the third film is better than the second one, but I don't think the first one is like the bee's knees, and then the Animatrix. The second and third, it's like you kind of have to respect that it exists because it completes the story.
Do we? Does it?
I mean, it does, especially now that we have a fourth one that it's not a reboot. It's actually following the story. It's like it happened. You know,
I was hoping the fourth movie was deleting because, you know, this is the Matrix. So what if it just deleted the second and the third movies and started off where it should?
That would be interesting as well. But yeah, I wasn't looking forward to it in that sense because I'm like, the others are bad. At the same time, I was looking forward to it because it's the Matrix. I kind of want to be in that world again. And I kind of want to explore some of the stuff that we didn't get to see. Like, you remember in the second film, talking with the Oracle, and she talks about like vampires and werewolves and how they're basically glitches that kind of got out and turned into this, you know, mythology or whatever, and you never see them. I mean, we see the two, the twins who are, I guess, could be considered ghosts, the way they moved. And I'm like, I want to see more of that. Yeah, they were really cool. I'm mad they died so quick.
Like, what the hell was that?
Yeah, that was why, fam?
It was a mistake.
But yeah, I wanted to see more of the weirdness that can happen in the Matrix. I wanted to see more analogs to, you know, computer stuff, the way they were, you know. And so that was what piqued my interest. I was like, you know what? We might get some more of that. And so looking at the Matrix Resurrections trailer, we got a little bit of that. We got a little bit of that with new characters, new fight scenes that don't look super stiff. It was funny. I made a joke about how the fighting in the first Matrix is basically them tailoring everything to Keanu because he's so freaking stiff most of the time that they made a whole fighting
fighting style.
Right. I'm totally wrong, but I'm just saying that's what it feels like when you watch the film, because especially if you go and watch him versus the agent Smith, it's like, this is the stiffest fight ever. Like, do you even binge your, like, anyways. So, but seeing this trailer, the fight scenes looked, from what you could see, looked pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Visually, it's pulling back or returning to the first Matrix. And I like that. I think that's really cool. There's a lot of nostalgia, and I don't know how much they're going to weave that in to make us feel good about watching this film or make us want to watch this film. But from what I saw that was new, it looked like it fit. It looked like this is the Matrix that we've been kind of wanting, I guess. Mm. And I also like the idea that it's a bit of a mystery. We don't know why Neo is back. We don't know why Trinity is alive. We don't know why they don't know each other. It's a big mystery. And I want to kind of keep it that way.
Alive. We know why she's alive, because people don't want to watch the movie without Carrie Ann Moss.
Well,
there's that. But they're like, what, leather?
Right? But it's like, it's a mystery of what's happening in the plot-wise. Like, we don't know what is going on and why so many people seem to be aware of the Matrix. I mean, you could kind of understand that with people surviving and, you know, having the truce with the machines at the end of the third film. But at the same time, people are in the Matrix willingly and are, you know, don't know and do know that there's a Matrix. It's interesting. In a sense that whatever happened previously might not have happened, or maybe it went down a little different, or maybe, you know, Neo is now a program. Like, there's so many questions I have, and I think that's a good thing. I think that we should just leave it like that. Let it be intriguing up until, you know, when it drops in December, December 22nd on HBO Max and in theaters. Just let it be a mystery. Because essentially that's how The Matrix was when I saw it. When I first saw it, I knew that there was fight scenes and really cool, you know, people dodging bullets, but I didn't know what the hell was going on before I actually saw the film. You know what I mean? Like, we weren't prepared. We weren't ready, as Kevin Hart would say. We weren't ready.
We were not. There was no understanding. And back when I was young, I didn't get to go see movies like that. Like, I could tell you, I know exactly what movies I saw when I was growing up. I saw 4 movies. And we don't need to go there. But I'm like, literally from the time of being 0 years old to being 19, I could tell you that I saw like 4 or 5 movies in the theater. I know exactly what they are. So I didn't get to do that until I went to college. And I don't remember when I saw The Matrix, like, but I didn't see it in the theater. I saw it on DVD.
Okay.
So it wasn't like I saw it on VHS, like I saw it on DVD. Yeah. I just don't know when. Doesn't matter. And yeah. What was the whole purpose of me saying that again? I need your help.
I think you were trying to say that, you know, I don't know. I don't know. You saw the movie. You didn't see it when it first came out. Oh, the trailer. That's right. We didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
When we saw the trailer.
First of all, I never know what's going on in life. So don't, it probably doesn't mean anything that I didn't know what was going on in that movie. But it was great. We were happy. I was happy. I thought it was an amazing movie. And I was like, oh, now I know why everybody at camp said that this was their favorite movie. Because like mine was like Shawshank and Roger Rabbit at that time. I hadn't seen The Matrix. And people were like, you haven't seen The Matrix? I'm like, come on, man. Like, no. But it also took me like 20 years to see Titanic and like 40 years to see Grease. So, I mean, anyway. But it's just the way the life is. But yeah, I you know, seeing Neo, I was like, oh, John Wick's in this movie. That's how I felt. And I was like, oh, I didn't even say, like, he wasn't Neo in the what is it called? In the trailer, he was John Wick, right? But some of the nods to the old movies was there. Like, it felt like I was watching a mix of the first movie and the Animatrix, which I thought was cool. You know, they were on a rooftop. There's a helicopter. There was some running on walls. They were in that dojo. Like, yeah. So, I mean, I'm excited. And yeah, we got to wait till Christmas. But the funny thing is, I feel like I just became self-aware. It's September now.
Yeah.
So it's not that far.
Yep.
Wow.
Time is moving. It's interesting when you think about it, because some of the stuff is like tentpoled around these events because we're inside most of the time. So
I'm inside,
like,
all the time.
Well, yeah, definitely you. but like in the sense where, like, oh, there's a big thing coming out, like Shang-Chi. Like, it's like, oh, you know, this Friday it's coming out, blah, 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 blah. And then it's like, oh, right, it's September now. Now, granted, I had a bit of a cheat because my youngest daughter's birthday and my wife's birthday is in the same month, September. Yeah. So a bit of a cheat there. But still, you remember when, so let's say, like, we're out of college and you forget what day it is because it's not, your days aren't revolving around something that's due. You know, it's you're not thinking about, oh, Friday's coming and I'm not going to have classes or I'm not going to have whatever.
Yeah.
And until you get to the working, and then it's like, okay, I'll work Monday through, you know, whatever. But outside of that, a lot of it is like, wait, what day is it? Like, it just, you just, oh, wait, Christmas is next week? Like, it just, it sneaks up on you. That's similarly to this type of stuff. Like, I didn't realize, I knew, but I didn't know until I started seeing trailers. Like, that, you know, people were talking about, like, oh, The Matrix trailer is coming out tomorrow. And I saw a little teaser thing that they were doing. And I was like, oh, wow. Like, yeah, it's about time for us to start seeing trailers because it's going to be December soon. You know, like, it just doesn't dawn on me. Or the fact that, Halloween Kills is going to be coming out in October. And it's like, oh, October is like literally down the street. It's like,
yeah,
okay.
It's next month. It's in a couple weeks now.
Yeah, it's time moves in a weird way. It's very relative. It's very relative to everything. Totally. But yeah, aside from that, I am looking forward to checking the movie out. I'm probably not going to watch any more trailers because I just want to, you know, be surprised when I watch it. And hopefully it's good. I've had some movies that I was looking forward to that didn't turn out so great. So, I'm a little hype.
They've had enough time to turn this into a good movie. Y'all had like 20 years to make this good. Like, John Wick has a beard. Like, you've had time. You've had time. So, as long as he's gotten rid of the whoa, like, you were okay. And that was a Joey Lawrence thing, but he did it in that one movie. And it was like, wait, what? The whoa for?
They had a long time. And it's not like it was a rush. Like, I don't think anybody was rushing for another Matrix. Like, I don't think, I mean, fans maybe, but no one was like,
I didn't know what happened.
This got to go down. Like, the expectancy wasn't that it wasn't going to happen, because when the directors were talking about it, you know, they were like, they didn't really want to do it. They were giving it to the fans, if anything. And then one of them, I forgot which one, but one of them was like, I don't want to go backwards. You know, they're directing new things. They don't want to go back to something that they left behind. And so, you know what I mean? Like, you just don't think this is going to happen. So the fact that it is happening, I'm like, all right. You know what I mean? You had time to kind of proofread this.
Yeah.
You know, so we shall see. Like I said, it drops December 22nd in theaters and HBO Max.
Yes.
You know, we'll definitely be talking about it when it comes out. Mm-hmm. Beyond that, we want to talk about the latest episode of What If.
Lastly.
This one is... I'm a fan of this one mainly because I'm a fan of Marvel Zombies. I'm a fan of all zombies for the most part.
I love zombies.
I do. I think they're a really good... They're iconic in how they are monsters that are also previous loved ones. That we kind of had that a little bit with vampires. Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. But I think the how they get romanticized is it knocks off the fear there a little bit. You know, you think of vampires as suave, unless it's like 30 Days of Nights where they're just ripping people's throats out, then all right, that's a little different. But for the most part, you think of Interview with the Vampire, you think of Dracula, you think of those type of things. With zombies, it's more so like struggling. It's a picture of society where we're like eating each other. And there's so many things. I can go on for days. But anywho, Marvel Zombies I liked as well because of how the characters would still be themselves. And at least in the comics, Iron Man would still be Iron Man, but he would just be a ravenous zombie. So he would still create machines. He would still, you know, have his super abilities and all this other stuff, but he would be a zombie. And that made them super dangerous.
That's actually what confused me.
Yeah, in the show they take some things and don't take everything, because this is the MCU. Yeah. You know, things have to be a little bit different. But what made them fearful, or like in terms of reading it, I guess it what made them so fearful was the fact that they were the same. So like any type of grudges they had before, any type of motivations to do whatever was still there. So you could see like Pym being upset with Tony Stark about something before they got zombified, and then afterwards him like actually going after Tony Stark, like I'm going to eat you in particular because you pissed me off when I was alive, you know what I'm saying? And so it makes them even more. And then the fact that, you know, he can go become giant, you know, we saw that, you know, with Hope, he can become giant. The Hulk ripping people apart because he wants to eat people, like it's even more so. This is super zombies essentially.
They were super zombies.
So in this show, they do that a little bit, but they make the zombies, they're not very smart. I guess it's weird. They don't talk. Like, Hawkeye was still able to, like, you know, target people with his bow and land a few shots. But he didn't speak. He wasn't menacing in that sense. He was just kind of like brainless zombie that still did the motions of an archer. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of weird. I would have liked it to be a little bit more on that side. Then at the same time, it was also kind of funny. I don't think they knew what tone they wanted to go with. I think it was kind of like, we don't want this too dark because, you know, kids might watch this, but it is zombies. So, you know, people got to die. So when you cut the dude's head off, just kind of cut to the left real quick. Like it was, they really didn't know. And then like Peter Parker's character being like, I mean, he was Parker. But
he was.
Yeah, it's like they didn't know what tone to kind of land on. It was all over the place. I mean,
look, what they knew they wanted with Peter Parker was they wanted him to hold a train with his webs. That was their biggest accomplishment. Let's give Peter Parker a train again. Let's give him some big machinery to hold with his webs, because Peter Parker almost getting ripped in half in the first series of Spider-Man with Tobey is still part of the best. That's the best part of film that we have.
Spider-Man 2 was great.
That was such a good movie. Handy is so, there's so many memes. There's so many. I mean, like, Tobey Maguire's awesome. Those facial expressions were gold. So that's what they wanted to do with this Peter. They wanted him to be sad. They wanted him to be a lost puppy and cute. And they also wanted him to use the force of 10,000 joules of pressure on a train with his magic spider webs. I mean, I think they nailed it for what they wanted. It didn't all necessarily make all of the sense, but I think they accomplished their crazy ass thought process, which I understood.
Yeah.
Because it was the whole, first of all, the episode, just to be fair, you zombified the Avengers and we only got 25 minutes or 21 minutes. Like it actually wasn't long enough.
Yeah, I thought that.
It was just so, everything was just so put together. Like it was just too fast, which is why I think a lot of things were just discombobulated. And I'm sorry, I really, really do have to talk about Hope, because yes, Hope was awesome, did all kinds of killing. But the fact that they let her die as a giant was the stupidest thing anybody could have done.
I was wondering about that. I was like, did we not have some type of fail safe? Like, okay, Hope, I know you're gonna giant size real quick. When you drop us off, if you could just kind of shrink. I mean, and maybe they did plan for that, but no, she died in the midst of
you could tell. No, they did not. They did not think anything through, because if they thought a lot of things through, they would be like, hey, remember what happened in I Am Legend? Because that's part of the sacred timeline. And they would have been like, well, we probably shouldn't try to go to the place. Okay? We're safe here type thing. They did a lot of things that messed them up. So
yeah, and I don't know why she like jumped inside of whatchamacallit's body to blow her up. Like you could have, there's so many things you could have done that wasn't that. Because then it was like, it dawned on her like, oh, I have guts all over me. You know, and it's like, well, duh, you just blew up inside of someone. Like, why?
Yeah.
If anything, the fact that you can beat up multiple, like, armed men in your shrunken state, you didn't even have to get bigger. You could have beat her up and knocked her off the train without doing that. Totally. It was such a, like, ooh, look, I can do this thing. And it ended horribly for you. I don't know what.
Yeah. I mean, because she could have gotten the cut on her arm any other way. Like,
right.
It didn't have to be like there were so many things that happened in that episode. But you want to know what? As much as I'm sitting here saying there are so many things that really should not have happened, like you guys are smarter than this. Like you guys have faced monsters and aliens. You guys are smarter than this. But at the end of the day, it was exactly 100% like any other zombie thing. Like everybody's so stupid when it comes to zombies. Like I've never seen any movie, show, even Walking Dead. I'm sorry. Like, yo, we're not going down that road.
And it's not even, it doesn't even have to be that way. There's examples of that where, you know, maybe they, you know, cause he did knock her down at one point. Maybe Hope came in and she got bit. Like it's, because of all the chaos. Remember, they were surrounded by like hundreds of zombies at one point.
Yeah,
some of them former Avengers. Like, you could have had anybody taken down that way. Similar to what the way Happy was taken down, which was hilarious, by the way.
That was so sad.
With him going boom, boom, or bang, or whatever.
I don't even know what he was saying.
That was great. That was good. That was amazing. But yeah, and also I think time limit restraints and you know, they wanted to do, you know, potentially do more, but they couldn't. So you had to kind of get to wherever you're going to get to. And because of that, you kind of get this popcorn experience where this is cool to see. It doesn't really make a whole lot of sense and the story isn't great, but it's cool to see. It's cool to see. So I'm not really mad at it. It's just, there are some things where I'm like, oh, this could have been so much better if this was maybe stretched out a little bit more, or if you added certain elements, a few more elements from the comic. But I'm not mad
at it. I don't know anything about, because I didn't read it. But we did get T'Challa. So five more seconds with just hearing Chadwick's voice just makes me whole.
That was cool. And we got that was the second one with him. So we have two more, I believe. He's in four episodes total. But yeah, it was fun. I also watched the episode before this with Doctor Strange. Not going to go too far into that one, but that was pretty cool too. It was dark, and
I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. It was funny because I was just mentioning how, like, I was like, are we going to be doing this thing where we're just going to have them act the way they would normally act, just in a different world, or you know, a different person takes their place, because that's very safe. What you're doing is safe. And then they're like, oh, okay, hold my beer. And then did something super, super dark. So I thought it was cool. And it actually made sense in a way in terms of time. You know, the whole idea of like the reason you're going back in time can't be changed, because that's the reason you're going back in time.
Yeah. Like,
it has to stay there. If not, it would destroy everything, and which you know, end up happening. Spoilers, but whatever. You should have watched it.
You should have watched it first. Like, I don't understand. Like, we can't just not talk about this kind of stuff. Like, this isn't, oh my God, I'm not going to listen to the Gamecast because I haven't watched MCU. Like, you guys know this by now. We always talk about this stuff. So.
Right. And we don't typically spoil big things, but.
But this is what if.
Yeah, this is what if. It's one episode a piece that has its own self-contained story. You'll be all
right. Yeah, like, you'll be totally fine. And all I have to say is, like, from last week's episode, like, a lot of people, apparently, there are people who just didn't like it, maybe because they're not used to seeing Doctor Strange bad. And I'm like, well, first of all, there's a whole movie coming up where he's going to be bad. So,
or seemingly.
I mean, that's what I don't think it's. I mean, it could be a different Doctor Strange. It could be from, you know, Universe 712 or whatever. I don't know. But it doesn't matter. But I love things that have to do with time travel, because, like, I'm really into, you know, string theory and dimensions and stuff like that. And I just really liked it. I really liked the ending. I mean, it's sad, it's horrid, it's awful, it's really bad, but like, I just like the simple fact that that he ends up in a crystal. I was like, this is good. And I liked seeing Strange versus Strange, and people were confused. I heard so many questions. I heard a lot of questions. They were like, why did time pass? And I'm like, the man is sitting there absorbing powers from mythical creatures, and you don't think that he can last millennia? Isn't he the guardian of the time stone? What's wrong with you people?
Right. Like, he has the time stone. Like, that's, I would totally not understand. But yeah, it was, I thought it was decent enough. I mean, granted, like we were saying, like, these episodes are short, self-contained stories.
Yeah.
You know, reminiscent of, like, maybe the Twilight Zone. And even though the Twilight Zone has way better writing, it's also the MCU. It's Marvel. It's comic book stuff.
Marvel, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's going to be a little silly here and there.
I like the dark stuff, though. I'm here for it. I'm totally here for the dark stuff, because it's what if and it didn't happen.
Right. That too. And it explores other things. It's because it's one of those things where, like, you want to see what happens. Like, what happens if they summon the Dark Lord? Like, what actually happens if that? Because they usually get stopped right before they do the big bad thing. It's like, well, what would happen? Like, I kind of want to know what. And so in that sense, you get to see when things don't go right. And experience it without it ruining the other story. So yeah, it's good stuff. Speaking of which, because you say you like time travel, have you seen Looper yet?
The movie with Bruce Willis. Die Hard, and yeah, I love that movie.
I was gonna say
I adore that movie.
It because I didn't know if you had seen it or not. I was gonna recommend it for you. It totally doesn't work on paper, but it's freaking awesome anyways.
when she said to him, because what's his face? Joseph Gordon-Levitt was coming up to her, and she said to him, she straight up said, he was like, oh, she shot him. And she goes, I can pump your body full of rock salt if I want to. I said, yes. Okay? This is me trying to tell people that you don't need bullets in your guns. Okay? You can use other things. You don't have to kill. You can use, what are those things called? Sandbags, those little sandbag bullets. Like, there are other ways to get people off your property than, you know, shooting them with hollow points. And I just really enjoyed that part. Sorry.
I don't know how we got on bullets. Right. I was like,
I'm just saying that she was protecting her house, like a lot of people who go and get guns say they're doing. Oh, I need to protect me and my family. Okay. You know, yeah, sure. To each his own. But she had rock salt in her shotgun, in her 12 gauge. Okay. And it did exactly what it was supposed to do. And that man was on his back, like, what did you do to me? And she's like, who the hell are you with a gun up his face? And his chest and arm was so messed up. I was like, see? Since she did that, she was able to take care of him and fix him up in her own house. If she had used freaking real bullets, he would have been dead and she would have gotten no explanation.
Yeah. So that was tangent number 403.
That's what we do here.
Wash your face, wash your butts, and don't use real bullets.
Don't. try again. Yeah, there are other options.
Other options. That being said, there are no other options when it comes to podcasts. You need to listen to us and us only. I kid. But no, definitely, we appreciate you for hanging out with us this whole time. If you hung out with us the whole time. If you skipped around and wanted to listen to certain topics more so than others, we're also appreciative of that as well. Shout out to everybody who subscribes on United Front Gaming, the YouTube channel. Hit that notification bell. Shout out to everybody who listens on the various DSPs out there, whether it's Spotify, if you can find us, mm-hmm. or iTunes, Google, all those different places, Steezer, Deezer. If you add us to your RSS feeds, we very much appreciate that. Mm-hmm. And we also appreciate you sharing the podcast. I saw some of you guys doing that as well. A shout out to all the people who are retweeting. Basically, everybody who listens and takes the time to acknowledge that we exist. Kudos to you, because this is a very crowded market with a lot of people doing the things that we're doing, not the way we're doing it, but, you know, doing the things that we're doing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's one of those things that dawns on me, and I'm going to talk about this a little bit more on another episode, where I'm constantly trying to stay away from other podcasts because I don't want to inherit certain things that they do. Mm-hmm. I want to kind of stay unique. And at the same time, though, I kind of have to be aware that there's other people around doing other things that we're doing. So mm-hmm. we're not necessarily treading the same waters. So with that being said,
I don't listen to them.
with that being said, you kind of have to, like, still be aware, right? Like if you're not hitting your audience the way you think you should, you know, maybe tweaking things or moving things around, you know, us getting on these other platforms certainly helped our numbers, you know? So it's like, you kind of have to move accordingly. And when that is, you know, when people respond positively because of that, hence my friend, you know, subscribing to us on Spotify, it's like that's dope. Like, a move we made has actually beneficial, because In his case, he was like, I'm not really, it's on my watch list, but I'm not really watching the YouTube stuff because it's, you know, it's typically a random game that I'm playing. It's not, you know, us actually on cam and stuff like that. And so he was like, you know, are you on Spotify? I was like, yeah. And then that's where we kind of went from there. So it's like, these are positive things that we're doing, these upgrades and these changes to get it, our content out to more people. And so when people respond to that, I am very appreciative because, like, oh, the hard work is paying off. It was a long-winded way of saying that, okay? But, yeah, thanks for listening to us. Feel free to follow us on Twitter at TheGameCast1. Mm-hmm. A lot of cool stuff going on there. For instance, recently, or I would say last month, we showed our official, quotation marks, Xbox controller with our colors.
Yay.
Awesome stuff. Awesome stuff. So, you know, definitely follow us there. And that's also a place to go if you want to kind of keep up with the podcast as well and things that we might announce. You can also check us out on Audioboom because it has all of our links. So if you go to Audioboom and type in The Game Cast, put dots in between the G, A, M, and E, and you'll pull us up. And that will have all the stuff. You can subscribe right there via the RSS feed. And yeah, regardless of where you listen, you know, our stuff is there. So again, thank you, and we appreciate your time.
Yeah, we appreciate you guys. Thanks for listening every week. Hopefully you do listen every week. If you don't, you should, because that's what we need. As I tell you guys every week, at least I think I tell you guys every week, to wash your faces and your hands, yes, and your butts. It's really important you guys wash your butts, because people have been dropping some tea about, come on, guys, just please do so.
And wash, yes, don't listen to Terry Crews. Wash. Yo, that sigh hit everything right there.
Oh man, I'm gonna have bad dreams. So yeah, don't ever listen to him, y'all. Please remember to wear masks. Continue to social distance. COVID is real. As I said, I know several people who've had it. They recovered because they actually got it after they had gotten their vaccine, because, you know, you can still get it. But they didn't pass it on to their kids, which is great. So get your vaccines if you can, and wear your masks, and please social distance. It's so important so that we can get over this thing, and then we can go back outside, like, for real, and stop wearing masks to the movie theaters eventually. So come on. And, right. You know, like we said before, we really, really appreciate all of our healthcare workers. I've been hearing some bad stuff about healthcare workers being protested and harassed and attacked, and this is just not okay. Come on, people, do better. just come on, continue to be human and caring, and love your neighbor, that kind of stuff. Be good people, y'all. We really appreciate you listening to us. We hope to see you guys next week. Until then, have a great week and catch up on all the shows before we spoil them for you. All right, y'all. Mm-hmm. Take care. Bye-bye.